Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Like me, do you sometimes think back in your life and your career thus far and wonder just how content you'd be and how much more you could have accomplished if you hadn't been so anxious? This very day, do you continue to suffer from significant bouts of worry, fear, and anxiety? Do you ever pause to consider how wonderful an anxiety-free life would be? No more fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of humiliation, fear of the unknown? And do you blame today's anxiety on a stressful job or on certain difficult personal relationships? Do you believe if you could just change jobs or get out of one or two of your toughest relationships, anxiety would disappear? Well, if you're an anxious person, and none of us are completely immune, my guest today, Dr. Johnny Kenley, has some bad news and some good news. And the bad news is your anxiety comes from within and is not the result of a particular job, relationship, or life circumstance. So don't plan on quitting your job or ending a sour relationship just to make it go away. But the good news is you can extinguish your fear and anxiety all by yourself once and for all in just 10 minutes. Sounds too good to be true, but Dr. Kenley is here to tell us how. And Dr. Johnny Kenley is a certified energy therapist and practitioner. He's also a physician, having specialized in physical medicine for 25 years. And Dr. Kenley has so many undergraduate, graduate degrees, certifications, and affiliations that I won't take time to mention them, but you can find them all on his website. And he's a truly brilliant scholar and a servant of humankind. And he's author of a remarkable new book just published in August, Freedom from Anxiety, a Revolutionary 10-Minute Process Returning Clarity and Ease to Your Life. Sounds promising, doesn't it? Hello, Dr. Kenley. It's indeed an honor to have you with us here today.
It's my pleasure, Roy. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, first of all, what is anxiety anyway, and how does anxiety differ from stress, tension, and fear? Do all four of these maladies go together, or what's the difference?
So anxiety is an emotion, and just like all the literally hundreds and hundreds of emotions that we have each morning, afternoon, and evening. And our emotions vary from horrible to wonderful, and they vary constantly. So anxiety is an emotion.
Yeah.
But by definition, emotions are things that reside in our body. Emotions are not in our mind. When you come to work this morning or you're talking about this afternoon, getting ready for the weekend, you have a thought, and related to that thought, there's some emotion, and that emotion in the end, by definition, resides in your body.
I see.
So when we talk about anxiety, truly it is a shade of fear.
Oh, I see.
As we think about any given moment of any day, we're either moving in one direction or the other. We're either moving in the direction towards more fearing or more towards loving. And all of these words that we have that are related to anything we feel in between, like stress or tension or annoyance or irritation, sadness, anger, contentment, at peace, at the other end of the spectrum, all of those reflect some shade of either loving or some shift, or moving the other way, some shade of fearing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what four critical areas of a person's life are derailed by anxiety?
Yeah, so this is pretty important, because the very first thing that comes to mind is that what is going to be derailed is you, yourself. You're not going to exist. You're not going to have your day in what your natural state of being is. And if you think of a young child, a six-month-old child, they, like you and me, go through a range of emotions each day. But
yeah.
their natural state of being is one of sort of, I'll use the word joyful bliss, you know.
Yeah.
Pretty much they're in joyful bliss all the time. Something irritates when they get irritated, but they move back to that natural state of being.
Well,
so
nice
when we are
in
an anxious state all the time, we ourselves, you know, it takes us away from our normal state of being.
Yeah.
And when we are also in a state of anxiety, we have no ability to maintain a relationship, whether it be a relationship with a spouse, a significant other, a parent, a coworker, a boss, somebody that works underneath you. You have no ability, because if you are anxious, you're only reacting. You're never, there's never enough peace, calm, or time for you to act with, I'm trying to think of a good word, act with awareness.
Oh, yeah.
Similarly, the third thing would be your finances. If you are constantly anxious and worried all the time, right on top of that list is going to be, do I have enough money? Am I spending too much? Am I spending too little? Am I saving enough? And everything, every part of your life, 24 hours a day, is going to be centered around that.
Yeah, that's
and
an awful state to be in, too.
Yeah. And lastly, the other critical area of our lives, as human beings, we sort of want to do something. Most of us are not given to just sitting still and doing nothing. We want to perform. We want to achieve. We want to get some modicum of success in our life in some area. And again, if you are anxious, there's no chance of this happening, because even if you get there, you're not sure why you're there or whether you're going to stay there, so you're just going to be anxious about that. So
yeah.
Your relationships, your finances, your achievements, and really yourself, those are the four critical areas that are derailed by living in an anxiety state
yeah.
of being.
Well, what kind of individual are most impacted by anxiety? Is it inherited, or are those of us at middle age likely to outgrow anxiety as we experience more life and master our professions? Or and can we expect anxiety to go away once we retire?
Well, you know, if you look at it from this perspective, as a child, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 months old, in that range,
yeah.
we're pretty much in a non-anxiety state.
Yeah.
Now we start getting conditioned by our mother, our father, our teacher, our preacher.
Yes, we do.
From then on in our life. We live in an anxiety society, an anxious society.
So we never really totally outgrow it then, I guess, without intervention, as we're going to talk about later.
And the thing of it is that everybody is in this state, so we start thinking that's our normal state of being. We should be anxious. And
yeah.
society perpetuates it by saying, okay, well, you know, if you're not anxious, then you're not performing to your best. Certainly there's
yeah.
a great degree of anxiety about anything new, and on and on.
And
so
if you watch TV, the news programs and that, they're certain to keep you anxious, because they're always talking about the crisis in America or the crisis in somewhere else in the world, or, you know, they're always giving us, even though we can't really have any direct impact on most of it, they give us plenty of things to be anxious about if we let ourselves.
Good news is not news on TV, that's for sure.
No,
it's all negative and enhancing anxiety, just as you said. That's
so then you'd say if certain high-pressure jobs that create anxiety, like police, air traffic controller, soldiers in battle, pilot or firefighter, if you're one of these and you were to quit and enter a different profession, the anxiety then wouldn't likely go away completely.
Yeah, so again, if you look at any job, or you look at, you can Google lists of most stressful jobs, most tense
yeah.
jobs with most anxiety. And depending
yeah.
upon who's making the list that month or that year, you'll see potentially highly stressful jobs. You know, the guy that diffuses bombs, or
that would be very stressful, I guess.
Yeah, or perhaps the teacher that has to deal with the hierarchy, or with the students and with
yeah.
with the mother at the same time.
Yeah, so, that wouldn't
be. Or the policeman who walks up to every single vehicle that he stops for a bad taillight, and he has to be thinking that there's a possibility that person could stick a gun out the window of the car and shoot him.
So many times each day you're in a confrontation with another person. That's why I would never dream of being a policeman. That would something I would not want to be.
Certainly there is nothing that you do in life that does not have the potential for you having an anxious moment. The difference being is, do you live in a constant state of anxiety besides having an anxious moment? If you and I were walking down the street and all of a sudden a tiger got loose and was coming for us, obviously there's fear in there and it's justified and we need to react to that right then.
Yeah,
there.
Fear can serve a positive benefit in keeping us safe, obviously, if there is something really to
it's there.
Fear. It's when
but
we start
we
being anxious
down
about what might happen next year or, theoretically. Or if we
so
try
if we
something
walk
new.
Down the street of Des Moines and all the time we're thinking that someone is going to step out and mug us,
but
if we drive down the road and constantly think that the person in front of us is an idiot, or we constantly think that we're going to get injured, that's an anxiety state of being, and that precludes you from being in your natural state.
Then again, so they might say that's good defensive driving, right, to assume everyone else on the road is an idiot.
Exactly. So it's not so much the job. Even soldiers, and I treat a lot of soldiers over the years, and they will tell you that being in the military, being in Iran and Iraq, it's exciting. It's the most exciting thing they've ever done in their life, as long as they don't die.
Yeah.
So it's not the job. It's what you bring to the job.
Well, in our society today, what are some of the most common ways that people try to relieve their anxiety, and are they effective, and if not, why not? I know we talk about various medicines and things like that don't work all that well, I guess.
So if your mind is in an anxiety state, as most of us are conditioned to be, not just in Western culture, but I spend lots of time in China, lots of time in Japan, lots of time in Malaysia, Singapore, the Philippines, it's no different there. So if you're in an anxiety state of mind, what you want to do is you want to change that state. So the easiest thing that people do all the way around the world is alcohol.
Yeah.
They believe that they're anxious. Maybe they're not even exactly anxious of why, what the reason is, but they feel anxiety, so they want to change it. So
and that temporarily masks the anxiety, but it certainly doesn't cure it.
It does not cure it whatsoever.
No.
As you and I both know, and as probably the person that is drinking the alcohol, they know it as well. But it gets them past. Then they move to other things. Or the person smokes cigarettes 60, 80 a day.
Or does
other obsessive compulsive behaviors.
Often hear about affirmation, the secret, that stuff, and the power of positive thinking way back in the Dale Carnegie days and to relieve anxiety. And sometimes we hear about mindful meditation. Are any of these methods actually work, or are they effective?
Yes, I can say that for sure, that if you're saying and thinking positive things, that is a lot better than you saying or thinking negative things.
Yes.
However, it does not change your anxiety state, because your anxiety state resides in your body, and I'll get to it in a second and how it got there. But it's there, so you have to do something to alter that. Certainly meditation, and I've been a meditator since 1980. I meditate every day, sometimes 2 or 3 hours a day. It's absolutely beneficial. However, it does not change the anxiety state. And sometimes you're so anxious that you're not able to do that. Same with prayer. Prayer is fantastic.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're not able because you have such anxiety about A, B, C, or D that you're not able to do that.
Yeah, I've had that experience.
Mindfulness is a very unique thing. It's a little bit like meditation. But essentially what it is that whatever you do, when you get up in the morning, as you set your foot down on the floor, you're paying attention to the feeling of that foot on the floor, each step, how you wash your hands. So you're just being mindful of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And it's a benefit, but it is, in a way, it's a little bit distractive because you haven't got to what the reason behind the anxiety is.
Well, let's get down to where the rubber meets the road and talk about your REIN, R-E-I-N, method of dissolving anxiety. What does each of the four letters in the REIN acronym stand for?
Yeah, so REIN stands for Resolving Emotional Issues Now, and I actually could have named it REIN, R-A-I-N, Resolving Anxiety Issues Now.
What that is
it's a blend of a variety of different approaches that I have mastered over the years.
I see.
To include areas of energy psychology, and I know maybe you have heard or some of your listeners have heard of these, of tapping certain points on your body. There's a plethora of these alphabet soup of energy psychology methods, and they're all excellent, they're all good. They do address the issue, but it is someone else doing it to you. You're not doing it yourself. And this is where REIN completely differentiates itself from any other approach. There is no other approach like it out there. So it uses these energy psychology techniques, the best of many of them.
Yeah.
And then it uses some NLP, neurolinguistic programming, some chakra and acupuncture points, self-hypnosis, and some meditation techniques. So it's a blend of many things that I've learned over the years. And then I have taken that all together and developed this simplified 7-step process.
Oh, I see.
And it takes about 10 minutes to go through.
Wow.
Might take longer the first time you read it because you're not with me. In my book, which is Freedom from Anxiety, it gives you background that goes step by step by step. So a little bit of understanding that's required, but it's not complicated. I teach it to 10-year-olds in Kenya and Rwanda. So hopefully that means someone my age can understand it as well as a 10-year-old.
You don't need to understand all the theory behind it, I presume, just you know, how it works and that it does work. All it wouldn't really matter to me. But
right.
Well, what's one thing that someone can do at this very moment to take charge and resolve their anxiety issue once and for all? I guess your answer would be to buy your book and do that REIN process.
That's absolutely true. Preceding that, one thing they can just sit down with themselves and look at where they are anxious. I find so many people, as I treat people around the world and give workshops in Russia and China and Europe, that people are anxious, but they're not really totally sure as to what their anxiety is.
Yeah, so, they often you don't know why you're anxious, you're just anxious. I know what you're saying there.
Yeah. And a lot of times I tell them, I say, okay, if you're not sure how you are anxious, ask your spouse, ask your significant other. They'll tell you for sure. You'll get the right answer there.
Yeah.
And it's eye-opening to a lot of people. But the bottom line of this is, the REIN process is this, is that the reason when you think a thought, Roy, when you're in Des Moines and you're walking down the street, this weekend, you have a thought, and that relates to an emotion that ends up in the body.
Yeah.
But just before that, the second you have the thought, your energy fields change. And then 1 nanosecond after that, the emotion resides in the body. So the underlying premise of energy psychology in my REIN method is that the cause of all the anxiety issues is the disturbed energy fields. So if that's the cause, if you can self-correct your energy fields, that anxiety emotion that's residing in your body, that pattern is no longer there.
Oh, that's great.
And
employ your REIN method successfully to remove anxiety, what are some of the benefits? I know you list several of them there, and they make a lot of sense.
Well, I mean, the greatest benefit that you have is that you're not a reflex to life.
Yeah.
Okay, so when something happens, you just assess it and take care. And you have ease. You have definite ease in your life because you're walking away from any fear you have. And
That would be so wonderful.
You have this lightness, you know. There's no stress, you know, behind your shoulders. You're clear about what you want in goals.
Yeah.
And like I said, you're flexible in response.
Yeah.
And you have the potential of actually living in delight rather than in just being in your natural state of loving bliss rather than other places along that continuum towards fear.
Yeah. No, what wonderful consequences that would be to get that use that RAIN method to get that anxiety out of your system. It sounds wonderful. But
when I travel around the world, I do live TV and I do demonstrations. I bring someone up from audience, or I bring a producer or a camera person that has an anxiety. And I like to pick phobias because they're easy to demonstrate on television. And so I've had people. I was in Estonia last May, and there was this girl that she had a fear of snakes. It was so bad that she could not look at a picture of snakes.
Huh.
It was important to her because in Estonia, a family hobby on the weekends is everybody goes out and picks mushrooms, not to smoke, but to eat.
Yeah.
And so she had a new boyfriend, and she's starting a new family, and she wanted to go out with an extended family and pick, and she couldn't do it.
Hmm.
So we did this process live on TV. I showed her a picture of a snake. She couldn't even look at it. There was sweat coming down the side of her face. We did the process. It took no more than 10 or 12 minutes. Showed her the picture again. No response. I had a rubber snake. I set it on her lap. No response. Thirdly, unbeknownst to me, a videographer there had gone to the Tallinn Zoo, the capital of Estonia, and got a small baby python and brought it in there, borrowed it, walked over to her and handed it to her, put it on her lap.
Wow.
So she was 29. For 17 years, she hasn't been able to go in the woods.
Huh.
And that was gone.
And then as a final step, somebody brought a rattlesnake to her, and it bit her, and she died. No.
Yeah.
I mean, fear of snakes and certain kinds of snakes is justified, I think. But, no, that's a great story. But, well, let's talk about your book, Freedom from Anxiety. Is that... That's written for everyone, not just for energy therapy practitioners or doctors.
It's not written for practitioners. It's absolutely not for practitioners. This is a program for you and me, for your children, for your aunts, your uncles, your grandmother, anybody that has an issue. They can sit down. They can get some great background on anxiety and on energy medicine and things like that. And then there's this 7-step program that they follow, and I've tried to detail it sufficient that anybody can understand it relatively easily. And in the end, they know. It's not a matter of, well, you know, I think I'm less indecisive.
Yeah.
No. You know. You do this, and then you know right away.
So if I purchased your book, it would give me all the tools I would need to then self-administer this RAIN process without any outside coaching or therapy or anything like that. I could do it myself.
That's my goal. And however I am available, I am available for coaching for sure. I go to businesses and I do, half-day workshops. I do weekend workshops as well for people.
Well, where should we go to preview and purchase your book? What's the best place to find out more about it?
So it is available on Amazon.com. both in a print and a Kindle version, Freedom from Anxiety, a revolutionary 10-minute process returning clarity and ease to your life.
Long name, tremendous results.
Absolutely.
That goes. But you also have a web address that has a lot of information. Give us your web address.
It's Anxiety Solutions Now, with the emphasis on the now, not on taking medication for 7 months. Or a year or 5 years or doing that same amount of talk therapy. Because as I say many times, talk is not enough and drugs don't cure.
No, that's for sure. Well, wouldn't it be wonderful in conclusion if you could wake up tomorrow with all your fears and anxieties gone And our guest today, Dr. Johnny Kenley, promises that relief without undue effort or a lengthy regimen of medication, and it's certainly worth your time and mine to learn more. And I highly recommend, if you're at all anxious, and aren't we all, that you go to his website, anxietysolutionsnow.com. And I don't claim to understand personally all the details of energy psychology, the auras and blockages, etc. Well, so long as it wipes out my anxiety, I don't need to. And if Dr. Kenley's REEN method really works, as it has for others all around the world, why not try it? It won't cost you thousands of dollars that you might spend going to a psychiatrist or purchasing anxiety-reducing drugs that don't work that well anyway. And I think the price on Amazon is something like $17.99 for a paperback. It's probably not even that much for the Kindle version. And I'd highly recommend you preview Dr. Kenley's book and consider it, because anxiety is something none of us want to live with the rest of our lives. Even another 10 minutes of anxiety is too much. And thank you so much for joining us here today, Dr. Kenley, and best of success in getting your your message out to everybody so that we can eliminate a lot of that fear and anxiety that keeps bugging us in our day-to-day lives.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate having spent the time with you.
And that's the message for today. Once again, that book title is What Again? Freedom from Anxiety by Dr. Johnny Kenley. And thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, here's a multiple choice question for those of you entering the latter stage of your career. You have three choices, and the question is, how do you feel about retirement? And choice number one is, I will love retirement because I will be free to do whatever I want, and what I want is fun. Choice two, I will hate retirement because my life no longer will have meaning. I won't be needed or feel important. And choice three, I haven't the slightest idea. I'm so busy and wrapped up in my career that I haven't even begun to think about retirement. And you may recall a program from May 4th of this year titled As Retirement Draws Nearer, What's Your Plan? And remember, you can go back and listen to our prior podcasts at any time right from this website. But on that May 4th program, I interviewed Hans Finzel, who co-authored with Rick Hicks a brand-new book titled Launch Your Encore, Finding Adventure and Purpose Later in Life. And this book fits in perfectly with our current topic of optimism in life's second half. So I've invited both Hans and Rick here to highlight the book and its message. And you may recall Hans Finzel is a highly successful author of 9 books. He's a coach, mentor, and teacher, and a trusted authority in the field of leadership. And a few years back, he stepped aside from 20 years as president and CEO of an international nonprofit, World Venture, to move on to his Encore. And Rick Hicks also was the president and the CEO of an organization called Operation Mobilization, another nonprofit organization that sends ships worldwide to help people in need. And he's also a former dean of students, even though at one point in time he was sent home from college. So they both gentlemen have very interesting backgrounds. And hello, Hans and Rick, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Great to be with you.
Thanks. Thanks so much for having us.
Well, as discussed in your book, how are our early post-retirement years, our mid-60s, for most, so radically different from prior life stages, and why is it so challenging for so many people?
Well, if it's life stages, let me take a crack at that first, because that's kind of my specialty.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at other life stages, I did my graduate work actually in life stage development. So I've spent a lot of years looking at the various stages. And when you go back and look at, coming out of high school in early stages and then middle adulthood and late adulthood, they're all pretty well defined and prescribed and studied, and people kind of know what to expect. So when I was in my 30s, I knew what to expect in my 40s because I read about it and studied it.
Yeah,
I was in my 40s. I knew what to expect in my 50s. But when I got to my 50s and I started looking into my 60s, this stage we're talking about now, there was very little written about it, either you know, from a popular perspective or from a research perspective. And Hans and I have been friends for a lot of years, and we were entering this stage, and we were kind of saying, hey, what's different about this stage? How come things haven't been written? And so it just got us both interested, and we've been studying and reading and researching for a good number of years. We've been living through it, and it's a wide open stage, but it hasn't been very well defined, and that's the
other
attempt
thing
of our book to do.
The other thing fascinating, you mentioned, you know, things that kind of laid out for you. You also have someone else when your earlier stages telling you pretty much where to go, like your boss or your employer. You know, then there's customs, and you've got family responsibilities and all these kind of things that kind of lock you in. And when you reach that 60s or that encore stage, as you call it, you're pretty much on your own for the first time. You have to make all those decisions yourself. So I can see how that would be somewhat of a challenge as well, for some people anyway. Well, your book is written to fill a void, as you said, guidance for those of us that are contemplating or facing mandatory retirement now or in the near-term future. And what are some of the most daunting transition challenges that new retirees will face?
Well, I'll give a start on that, Hans, here. I think the fact that they have to leave their job. I talk to people all the time, especially women who are worried about their husbands because they're like, he just feels lost about what he's going to do.
Worried
his
they'll
job
be stuck with him also.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of women that are worried they're going to screw up their little routine that they've got going with at home with their friends. And my wife and I went through that adjustment when I came home 3 years ago and started working out of our house, and she works out of our house. And it took about a year and a half to get that rhythm. But I think there's a fear, especially among men, about what am I going to do next? And that's something that we see across the board. This, how am I going to, it's not that I love my job, I just don't know what I'm going to do next.
Yeah. And then that, I think so many of us men are so wrapped up in, or we relate our worth to our career too much so that we suddenly feel like we don't really, you know, have much meaning left, or there's nothing much more for us to do. And that must be frustrating for some, I would think, as well. But,
That's absolutely true. Men, the second question most men ask their friends, or I mean the people that they meet, another guy after your name, is what do you do? And we tend to segment and judge people, men to men. What's your job? What do you do? And that's our identity. I've gotten to where I say, well, you know, I'm a husband, I'm a grandfather, I'm a dad, you know, just kind of start with that.
Right.
People look at you funny. They're, no, I mean, what do you do?
What do you do to make yourself
well, what I do is I like to be a
great-grandfather. Grandfather is not a, probably the most important jobs all of us have. Well, in part one of your book is titled The Challenge, More Life After Our Career, and you have a chapter titled Beware of Going to the Dark Side. And I recall years ago a TV program called Tales from the Dark Side where circumstances weren't very pleasant. But what is a post-career dark side and how can we avoid it?
Well, let me take a stab at that one. This is Rick. You know, the whole idea of when you come to this kind of post-career phase, and we don't like to use the word retire. We almost renamed our book Retirement is a Four-Letter Word, but our publisher didn't think that was very appropriate. But it's not about retiring. It's about what do you do after your main act is over. And so you're going to come to a path, and it's going to be different types of things that you can do. But you actually have to make a choice about your attitude, how you're going to look at this phase of life. And the one side is that you're optimistic, you're a contributor, you're taking all the wisdom, all the things you've gained, you're building into the younger generation, and that's the light side. So that's where we want to be. The dark side is, and, you know, we all have met kind of some of these people that, you know, they never get out of their bathrobe, they live on their couch. You know, it's kind of like the crazy aunt that you don't want to go over to her house because it kind of smells, and she just doesn't have, and she just has gone within herself.
Yeah,
and nobody wants to be around them, and they feel entitled And your whole life can actually become very dark and self-centered, and people around you notice that, and people don't want to be around you, and it impacts your health. It impacts your health in a negative way.
Yeah.
So we're saying there is a choice, and our book is focused on helping you to find how you can find what the light is for you.
Well, you positively label the opportunity we have in our 60s to progress through elder lessons, and you have a chapter in your book with that title. What do you mean by the term elder lessons, and how do you suggest we take maximum advantage of this period in our lives?
Go ahead, Rick. Take that one, too.
You found that word. I found this word. Basically, life is filled with these different stages, right? And,
and
they've been set for, over probably 130 years, these stages. Well, we're looking at, because so many people are living so much longer, so active, in some cases have discretionary funds, there's this whole new stage of life. The last stage that we added to the kind of life stage development was adolescence back in 1904.
Oh.
A guy by the name of Gene Stanley. You didn't go just from being a kid to an adult. There was this in-between stage, which had to do with time and money for younger people, and we added adolescence back then.
Yeah.
Now some of the research people are saying, hey, there's this whole new stage of life. People aren't retiring at 65 and dying at 68. They're not even dying at 78 or even 88. I mean, they're living on, and it's literally stage. And some of us are calling it elder lessons, and there are things that you can accomplish, and it can be one of the most exciting times of your life if you know what you're headed into and you prepare for it.
Yeah, and interesting, in your book you speak to baby boomers who are used to being in the forefront of what's happening, and you tell us it's time for us to step aside to make way for Gen Xers and millennials to lead. But you also see a vital role for boomers to play going forward. What is that role, and is it only former leaders like you two that are qualified to fulfill it, or what about us average boomers that haven't accomplished very much?
Oh, well, listen, we're all average boomers, and I think that we have a lot of roles that we can play later in life that are more along the lines of mentoring and influencing and coaching. It's not just here's a cool letter I just got this morning about people learning from each other. It was about a lady who was liked our book, wrote us, and it's about this new movie, The Intern, that is real popular. Have you heard about that?
I don't know anything about it. I've heard the name mentioned.
Anyway, it's about Robert De Niro is the 70-year-old who's it's perfect story of what we're talking about. He goes back to work for this young woman. He is the intern, but. It's not just about some old man bumping around in this new world and not getting along. Actually, he influences the younger people with little things like carry a handkerchief in case you're around a woman that starts crying, or
you have to blow your nose.
Or he had a cool old briefcase that one of the young guys found and bought one just like it. So. Our role, what we like to say is we probably need to give up our positional leadership but move to a place of influence. And we have so much that we can contribute and influence. And Rick and I both find that the younger generations, the Gen Xers and millennials, want to learn from us. They don't necessarily want to work for us in the controlling
control is kind of gone.
Exactly.
Out of style.
Right.
But they do want to learn, and a lot of them are from broken homes. They didn't have dads, especially, and they love to get a father figure in their life. So I think there's plenty of room for all of us, no matter what our role was in our first life.
Could I add to that?
Yes.
I just add to that, in our book, we give five chapters of different kinds of people that go through this encore, And one's a fireman, one's a secretary to a president of a school, another one's a bookkeeper, another lady was a pilot. So, I mean, this is really talking about the everyday people.
Yeah, that's great.
We all have to transition from what our main act was to this encore, and it's certainly not just for leadership types. It's for the whole rank and file, everyone.
Yeah, amen. I love that part three of your book, the stories of those inspirational people like the former female pilot that then became a stunt pilot when she was too old to be a commercial pilot anymore. But part four is titled The Plan, and that contains, to me, the most essential ingredient of any worthwhile self-help book. You challenge readers to apply what they've learned in preparing their very own encore action plan. And the good news is you don't leave us hanging. Can you briefly describe a few of the tools and suggested steps you offer to help guide us in developing that plan?
Go ahead, Rick. You can take that one.
Okay. Well, the idea of the plan is that, you know, we kind of set the scenario. We set the stage for you through the whole book. And at the end of it, we actually develop a workbook that you can get online for free. But what we're saying is take all this stuff we've talked about. Now let's do something with it. Let's make this practical. This isn't just a theoretical discussion.
Yeah.
And we give you these nine steps, these nine sections to deal with. And the first one really is listening to the voices of your past. And that means just kind of go back, see who you are, see who you were. How did you get here? And then we got this other thing, this me at my best exercise. It's like, look at your life and find out where were you the happiest? Where did you make it through life and where did you succeed? And we're trying to build like a little bit of a puzzle here, piece by piece. And as you do that from your past, it's going to give you some real strong clues as to what you can build for the future now that you kind of have more choices. So we have this whole final chapter called The Plan, and you read through that, and then you go online, you get our workbook, and then also Hunt and I are going to be out going around doing workshops on this where people that want a more personal touch could perhaps be a part of our workshop as well.
Yeah, that sounds great. No, that's like I said, there's really self-help. There's so many of them that you read through them, and they sound great, and then you put them aside, and you know, all the knowledge you gain goes away shortly after, and you're right back where you started from. And that's why it's so important that, you know, you have a plan at the end, and you push people to actually work on the exercises to do something for themselves. Because like you say, the choice is personal, and everyone's going to have a different choice of how to perform their encore, what they want to do with the rest of their lives, and they need to do it themselves. And well, I presume you can find your book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or through a local bookstore if you can find one, but you also have a website specifically dedicated to the book that even contains a portion for people to preview. What's that web address that they should go to?
Yeah, that's launchyourencore.com. Launchyourencore.com, and I would really like to suggest you go there. And if you want to sign up for our email news, it only comes out about every 3 weeks, so we don't bombard you with spam. But we are going to be developing this seminar next year. If you'd like to, those of you who are listening, if you'd like to meet us and maybe attend one of our encore seminars and sign up for our mailing list, and we'll be letting you know when we come to a town near you. So it's launch.
Come around
your
Des Moines,
encore.
Iowa. I'd love to to join.
There you go. All right, Des Moines, Iowa. Sign up for that.
Yeah. Well, in conclusion, as you know, the current theme of our program is optimism, the O in our OPENS formula for a joyful and productive second half. And an optimistic outlook is successful or is essential during your working years, but also it's essential once you retire, although we don't like that term, and transition into elderlescence. And assuming your finances are in order and you remain healthy, elderlescence is your time to both enjoy life to the fullest while at the same time contributing your unique talents and concern in service to others without that concern for monetary reward that we always had to worry about while we were earning a living. You are now or soon will be CEO of you and co-partner with your spouse of your relationship going forward, and there are no definite right or wrong answers on how you spend your encore, but it's so important you begin now to plan how you wish to spend it. You may be retiring from your career, but not from life. And as a transition guidance, I highly recommend the one-of-a-kind book, Launch Your Encore, Finding Adventure and Purpose Later in Life by Hans Finzel and Rick Hicks. And don't leave important post-career decisions up to someone else and then spend your golden years unfulfilled and grumbling, making everyone around you miserable. And you can preview Hans' book, as he mentioned, and Rick's book at launchyourencore.com. And as a companion book, how about my book, A Midlife Challenge Wake Up by Roy C. Richards? And my book offers a comprehensive roadmap to shake free once and for all of those unfulfilled dreams, diminished expectations, irrational fear of tomorrow, and stressful, uninspiring daily routine. In the second half, even after retirement, some of your best years are yet to come. And you can preview my book at middleagerenewal.com. And thanks a million, Hans and Rick, for returning. And may both of you continue to prosper and serve others far and wide in your encores.
Thank you so much for having us. We appreciate it.
And all of you out there, never forget, as it mentioned in the book, God loves you just as much now at 64 or at 84 as God did back when you were 24. And with God on your side, who can defeat you or keep you down? Now let's all go out and relish the moment.
Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.